And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Mike Wiggins, the former mayor of Pensacola, and our expert on everything garden. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Mick, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a hard act to follow with those two.
Man, I was listening to you, and I was ready to enter in that conversation.
Gosh, it was hard to get a word in with.
My favorite shows and my least favorite shows. But anyway, that was a fun conversation.
Yeah. So here we are.
We all learn all kinds of things about people when you start getting into all of that. So.
That's true.
It's all good. Uh-huh. All good.
Okay. So tell me everything. What's going on in your world of gardening and what to do with the heat? That would be my first question. I mean, when you're talking about we're already into triple digit heat index this morning. I think it's 103 right now. Good grief.
Stay inside and work on your house plants.
Gosh, can you bring everything inside?
There's no question. Plants are affected by this, and we are affected by this. And we continue to say here on the Garden Line is be careful.
Gosh.
I mean, if you're going to go out and do some things in the yard, which we have to do, we've got to water. If nothing else, we have to water. Any plant you have in a container is drying out so fast. But you've got to go do that. You've got to keep it watered. But do it late in the afternoon. Do it early in the morning. Mow the lawn. I think I told you one time, I woke up every neighbor I had a couple of weeks ago when I was out there. I think it was at 6:30 or 7 o'clock mowing my lawn.
Gosh, well, now you have to. I mean, it was 89 last night.
Oh, exactly.
That's ridiculous.
Exactly right. So it is hot, and it's dangerous hot. So what you've got to do, obviously, stay hydrated, put a little sunscreen on, and just be careful. Be careful. This will break. This weather will break. We won't have this forever. But for now, be so cool. And, of course, with all this hot weather, watch the tropics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do all the things we've talked about if you're a gardener insofar as getting ready for that. And so, Yeah,
so far, so good.
So far, so good.
Yeah, we haven't had anything serious. I mean, that one little scare last week, but it completely missed us.
That wasn't anything at all. But my birthday is, I'll just say it, is September the 4th.
Oh, a Labor Day baby.
Do you know how many birthdays I've had while I was hunkered down in the house because of a tropical storm or a hurricane? Oh, that's the height of the season.
Well, I guess that, now that I think about it, you're right.
And so, see, a month and a half away from that. So,
hopefully it'll stay away.
Oh, man. Isn't that the truth?
Isn't that the truth?
There are a couple things we do need just to throw out there. Then I want to share you some information that I got. It's really kind of fun. When I did mow the lawn, and have happened since, is the little dingy moths flying around about knee height.
Ew.
When you mow the lawn. That is, of course, a little dingy moth that will lay eggs, which will result in sod webworms, which can really do a number on St. Augustine grass. And we've talked about that. It's easy to diagnose, and you just simply have to keep an eye on your lawn. You have to walk out, look at it, and if you've got some brown spots, the brown spots is the thatch underneath the blades of grass, which the sod webworms have chewed up.
Mm-hmm, right. We had some questions about that last week.
Yeah, and any blades of grass that are still there have notches in them, and the spots gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So that's the bad news. And the good news is, of course, they are relatively easy to control. Get some insecticide. Get some granular insecticide.
Mm-hmm.
That's easy to handle. You don't have to mix anything up. And put it in the spot and a little bit off the spot, just to cover any that are left. And the grass will come back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like chinch bugs. Chinch bugs will have the yellowish, brownish spots. The spots will get bigger, And many times that grass will not recover. But with sod webworms, it will. You just have to take care of the worms.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not fun, but it's the time of year.
Do they thrive in this weather?
Oh, let me tell you what, Mick. They love this. With all the rain we had earlier, the St. Augustine grass is lush. And these are tropical insects, and they love that lush St. Augustine lawn.
Mm-hmm.
So I think our chances of having an outbreak of sod webworms is great this year, probably greater this year than it has been in the last couple of years. But it's really kind of weird because you can really have the moths flying everywhere and never have a sod webworm in your yard at all. And sometimes it really does change year by year. You can have everybody's got it. Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, up north, or nobody's got it.
Well, is there anything preventative that you can do to prevent it?
That's the key. You really can't. You really can't. All you can do is just do everything you're supposed to do to keep your lawn healthy and strong. Obviously, water, the mid-season fertilization, which we can talk about in a minute, mowing it correctly, doing all that stuff to keep a healthy lawn is about all you can do. You really can't keep the worms from coming. That's just all environmental and Mother Nature there. But just be on the lookout for that, because it's not a fun topic to talk about.
No,
but it's one that I think we need to, because we always say it here on the Garden Line. Every one of us has got a ton of money and time and effort in making our lawns and our plants and our landscaping look good. It's just not cheap anymore. And anything we can do to save it, do it. And that's one thing about these sod webworms. Just go out every morning or so, look at the yard, and like I say, you'll know it when you've got it.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
Well, we just got a lovely text that came in. If you've got a comment or a question for Mike, this is the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. You'll like this one, Mike. I just have to say this. Every week, I look forward to Tuesday morning because of Mr. Wiggins. I drive a lot for work, and I completely enjoy listening and learning from him. An absolute treat for my week. Thank you, Mr. Wiggins.
I just can't say thank you very much.
That's so
I can't
sweet.
Say thank you more. That is so nice.
Yes, very, very nice. And this somebody else texted in that they share the same birthday. I don't have the name. They said,
September 4th?
Yeah, they go, my birthday is September 4th. How cool.
Yeah, how cool. I wonder if they've had to hide from the hurricanes.
Probably.
Too. But anyway, thank you for that nice text. I really do appreciate that. We have great listeners.
We do.
I've got to tell you about one listener who is really, really great. And you know about this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Catherine.
She's the best.
Last week, walked into the studio, and there's a packet of papers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they were from Catherine.
For both of us.
I would like to go through everything she sent us.
Mm-hmm.
But that would take about 5 shows, because it was so, so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from how to keep our landscaping right to birds. And there was one magazine article she sent that I just thought was funny and fascinating. How to get birds to eat out of your hand.
Oh.
I mean, this article went on and on and on about how to do it and what not to do. It was just fascinating. And Catherine, this stuff you sent was great. But I am going to highlight one that she sent that I think is really good. I know we got to take a break.
We do. We got
to
take a quick break.
So when we do the break, when we come back, I want to talk about Florida Friendly Landscape Program.
Excellent.
It's 9 bullet points here.
Okay.
That will tell us how to have a Florida friendly, environmentally correct landscaping. So
something
we'll do that when we get back.
Something to look forward to.
You got it.
Just so you know, the person that shares your birthday texted back and said, my name is David and I've lived here since 1980.
You're right.
So happy birthday early.
There you go.
September 4th.
Very good, David. Thank you very much. Happy birthday, man.
We'll be right back after the break. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel and Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, 850-437-1620. Send in your questions and we'll get to them after the break. Welcome back to the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3.com. I mean, 92.3. Listen to me.com. Woo! More coffee needed.
Bring it on. Bring that coffee, will you?
All right. So we had lots of questions coming in. We've been talking about grass this morning, and we did have one about brown. He says he's got brown spots on his grass. What can he do to get it solid?
Well, this is where, Meg, you come in, because you know the answer to this. The brown spots could be the sod webworms. Mm-hmm. Because
brown and yellow, he said.
Because it has eaten all the blades. If it's brown and yellow, you may want to think chinch bugs, because they will have the yellow kind of a halo around the edge of their damage. And they're more prevalent, and we've talked about this,
mm-hmm.
Next to the street, next to sidewalks, next to driveways, because that's where the turf is warmer, and that's what they like. They are so very tropical, and they want that warm turf. Now, there's a third thing. Okay, Meg, I'm going to let you say this.
Oh, gosh.
You ready?
I feel on the spot.
The magic word. You love it. Rosactonia, brown patch fungus.
Rosactonia.
What are your favorite words? Now, but that's this time of year, you can always get that. I'll never forget. I had a group of folks come in one time for a little seminar from Gaysville.
Mm-hmm.
These were the gurus. They knew it, everything. And I said, I want to show you some brown patch fungus. It was in the summer. I don't think it was quite this hot, but it was in the summer. And they said, no, that's not going to happen. It's just the wrong time of year. Until I showed them the fungus. And they said, oops, there it is. You can get that. Sometimes it's more prevalent, maybe in the fall, or maybe in the early spring. But right now, you can get that Rosactonia fungus. And the reason I mention that is you can have those brown spots with the yellow around.
Mm-hmm.
It's more brownish than yellow, kind of a burnt brown look in that circle. And it's mainly St. Augustine, Zoysia, Centipede, not so much, but mainly St. Augustine. And it'll just grow and grow and grow. And you've got to spray it with a fungicide. And I always tell people, if you think you've got that fungus, are you sure, kind of put your hand down into the turf where it's damaged, right on the edge. And if it's kind of greasy and wet, that's another good sign that that's a fungus. Also, and this goes for the sod webworms too, get you a golf tee, your golf bag, or a number two pencil, doesn't make any difference, and put a marker in the ground right next to the edge mm-hmm. of the damage, and then do your treatment. If the discoloration goes past your marker, then you've got to do it again. If it stopped there, you're cool. You've done what
that's
you had to do.
That's a great little tip.
Yeah, but that's one way to check if it's active. Now, the Rosactonia fungus, generally, no matter what, you do it again. Probably it likes 48 hours dry. Here in Pensacola, we hardly ever get that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you spray and it rains, do it again. And then in a week or so, do it again. But all of those problems need to be treated, because they just get bigger and bigger and bigger and can take over your yard.
Okay, Mike. Well, we've got several texts coming in now, 850-437-1620. The one of them says that I just put down some seed on my yard, so how often should I be watering? The other question is, it's so hot, what do I do? Water every day, every other day, twice a day? What do you recommend?
Is that the same text?
Two different ones.
Two different texts.
The theme is watering.
Let's do the seed first.
Okay.
Every day.
Okay.
Every day until that seed germinates and has taken hold.
And that's in the morning, right?
Oh, no question. Okay. No question. In the morning. But I was wondering what kind of seed they have put down. Because that brings me to something I wanted to ask the audience, because I don't know this. So if you have zoysia grass and you have a bad spot, say you have dog damage or whatever, Zenith zoysia seed is one that I've been reading about, that the people who sell Centipede seed also sell Zenith zoysia seed.
Hmm.
Normally you sod zoysia. Everybody sods it. And if you have a bad spot, you just kind of dig that out and plug in a new zoysia grass. But zoysia has this seed, and I just wonder if anybody listening has ever used it.
850-437-1620.
Yeah, because I'm real curious as to how that might work. But well, no matter what kind of seed the person who texted in is talking about, I'm going to guess it's probably centipede seed.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to keep that seed moist. I'd water it every day. I water it every day. Plus, that takes us to the next question.
Yes.
Is how often should we water?
When it's 104 degrees.
When it's 104 degrees. And we've talked, you know, just like we just said a minute ago, we've always talked about 3 times a week,
mm-hmm.
30 minutes, done. There are some parts of the city and our region where I think you might, if we don't get any rain, let's say we don't get any rain for the next week.
Gosh.
Just say that. Just
oh,
say
my
it.
Gosh.
You might have to hit every day. The experts are going to say, Mike, you're crazy. That's too much. I don't think so, because number one, we've got sandy soil. Water just goes right through it. A lot of the experts will say, now let your lawn tell you that it needs water. Remember, we've talked about that,
mm-hmm.
how the blades of grass would kind of fold in half,
mm-hmm.
or if you're walking on the grass, it'll leave footprints,
right.
or your lawnmower on the wheels of the lawnmower. Anyway, point is, I'm not sure you need to wait that long. I think go back, be sure we're going to our 3 times a week, 30 minutes. But if we don't get any rain and this heat stays with us, you might have to go every day for a while.
Okay, we're listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. We'll be back right after the break. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Go ahead, Mike. We've got so many questions coming in. 850-437-1620.
And I just have to thank Catherine again for sending all this stuff. Some of the things she sent I thought was really interesting. One, she sent from a document from the Florida Wildflower Foundation.
Oh, wow.
A guide for choosing native plants. Now, we could talk about native plants, and I'm sure we could identify some. This has got over 100 native plants and shrubs and vines and grasses that are to build a native habitat.
Oh, neat.
For pollinators and wildlife and that type of thing.
Wow.
So we can't go through it too much too long for that. But keep in mind, you might want to Google this. The Florida Wildflower Foundation. Really a great, about a 4-page deal with every plant you could think of that you could classify as a native plant. And what light, what bloom season, mm-hmm. all of that type of thing. So, Florida Wildflower Foundation.
That sounds fabulous.
Yeah,
you could do your whole backyard with wildflowers.
Why not?
That'd be so
Why
fun.
Not?
Beautiful. Okay, we're listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Guess what? We got another half hour of good stuff with him coming up.
I'm ready.
So we're going to take a break for the news, and then we'll be back. In the meantime, send your questions in, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3. Good morning. Welcome back to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and The Garden Line every Tuesday, this time with our best garden expert, Mike Wiggins. So we've got a couple questions from the previous half hour we're going to check into. So we did have the question about the bugs.
The bugs.
So we want to follow up on that because we talked about all the different sods and the different things that you can tell from brown and yellow grass. But this person that we asked the question did a follow-up. What product could they use?
Good question.
Okay.
Good question. There's all kinds of different products. And what I would do is go to one of two places. I'd run to Werner's Turf or Pensacola Seed and Garden. Talk to the folks at either one of those places. They've got shelves full of fungicides, insecticides, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to be specific, spectracide granules are pretty good. High-yield granulars are good. This is for insects.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fertiloma, I believe, still makes a product called F-Stop Fungus Spray. Daconil is another chemical that one could maybe, got to say maybe, if that's available, could use for fungus control, for the Rhizoctonia fungus. So those are some of specific names. But if you talk to Larry or his staff or the folks at Werner's, they have all the latest there. But I always say this, no matter who you talk to, you've got to check that label. It's probably, well, it's so important. I was just going to say it's weed killers are even more important, but not necessarily so. You want to be sure that the product you're buying is labeled to be used on the grass that you have. That's so simple, because you can do grave damage, especially on weed killers. 2,4-D is a very common chemical in weed killers, but it comes in different strengths. You can buy weed killers that are labeled for St. Augustine, Zoysia, Centipede, and you can also buy weed killers that's probably right on the shelf, right next to that other one that says, in fine print, very fine print, do not use on St. Augustine grass. So whether you're buying a fungicide or an insecticide or a weed killer, the label is the secret. You've got to spend some time, and this is little bitty print.
Okay, get those readers on.
Exactly, get those readers on. That's really, really important.
Okay, well, we hope that was helpful. Great question. Got another text that came in with a photo. Is the reddish tip on my Sasanqua? Is that how you pronounce that?
Sasanqua.
Say it again.
Sasanqua.
Sasanqua.
I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right.
Sasanqua, a fungus or a new growth? How can a person tell the difference? Thanks from Freddie in Gulf Breeze.
I think you've got some new growth going on there, because if here's the deal on discoloration on leaves. If you've got a plant that's got a discoloration, say it's brown. Mm-hmm. This is red, but say it's brown on the tips, okay, or it's brown on the edge of the leaf. That is generally environmental. Too hot, too cold, too wet, too dry, mm-hmm. You name it. And right now, it would be
hot.
Hot with the red. The red
too hot.
And we're going to blame that on the heat. I blame everything on the heat now,
right
by
now,
the way.
For sure.
Exactly. But keep in mind, if you've got a leaf on a plant that has discoloration spots, if you will, on the internal part of the leaf, not on the edge, not on the tip, but in the internal part of the leaf, that is generally disease or insects. If it's brown on the tips, that's usually environmental. So that's okay. kind of how that works.
Okay, great. So keep those questions.
Now on the Sasanqua, I don't think I'd do anything.
Okay.
I wouldn't do a thing.
I would
let that go. Now I'm going to check as I leave the studio, because we have some beautiful Sasanquas planted in the front.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay, and they're... I'm not going to say they're ready, because they're not, because this is only July.
Mm-hmm.
But as we get into the fall, they are gorgeous out here. And that plant that they have there will be pretty, too.
Okay, very good. If you've got a question for the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. So you had a thing that Catherine had brought in that she wanted to go over.
I've got so much.
I know. He keeps...
But this is...
I'm keeping you on track, because okay. That was something you teased earlier.
I'm going to make this quick.
Okay, good.
We could spend a whole show on this.
Okay.
But the... University of Florida, IFAS,
uh-huh.
Sent out this Florida-friendly landscaping. And it's geared towards being very environmentally correct. All right, and 9 principles.
Great.
I'm going to do a...
Get your pens out. Here we go.
I'm going to talk real fast.
Okay.
Well, I think these are common sense.
Okay.
I think everybody's going to know this, so we've talked about it. Right. Number one, right plant, right place. You don't want to plant impatiens in the full sun.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to plant hibiscus in the pure shade. Hydrangeas, we said, likes that morning sun, little afternoon shade. So plant the right plant, or a plant that does well in our area in the right place in your yard. Very important. Number two, we just talked about this, water efficiently. I'm not of the school that you let the plant tell you, but you... It's so hot. I think I mentioned last week.
If they're gasping, that might be a clue.
I've got a signal plant at home that I look at every time, every morning, and if the leaves are kind of like old dog ears, you know, like mm-hmm. just hanging down, it's time to water.
Yes.
So don't neglect that, because they'll usually perk up after that. But if you let it go too far, no dice. Fertilize appropriately. We've talked about that a lot on the show here. Do not fertilize right before a heavy rain,
mm-hmm.
especially because this is geared towards the environment. It will wash into the stormwater system. Mulch, cypress mulch, pine straw, you name it, a 2 to 3 inch layer of mulch will retain the soil moisture, prevent erosion, and suppress weed germination. So mulch can be very, very important. Attract wildlife. And this is where you need to do some research, you know, those native plants and mm-hmm. all that. You know, plant some plants that attract wildlife. That's fun. Manage your yard plants responsibly. And this is an important principle that we've always talked about on the Garden Line. It's called integrated pest management. Whereas my words, not their words here, only treat where you have to and only treat where you have the problem. Remember the sod webworms or the chinch bugs?
Right.
Spray the area. Come off the area maybe 10 feet or so. Don't spray just because you have sod webworms in the front yard. You don't need to spray the whole front yard and the backyard too.
Just the area that's affected.
Just the area that is affected. If you have, this is kind of gross. If you have some of these big nasty worms, say on some of your plants, this happens this time of year, put on some gloves and pick them off. You don't need to spray them. Just pick them off. If you do have worms like on your tomatoes, Bacillus thuringiensis, the BT spray, is very, very environmentally safe and works only for worms. The number seven, recycle. This is composting. We've never talked much about composting on the Garden Line. I'm not sure how many people really do that, but it's a great way to get to take care of your lawn clippings and raked leaves and plant parts and that type of thing to make new soil. So we need to get us a composting expert on the show sometime, Meg. Reduce stormwater runoff. A lot of that is geared to building, if you're re-landscaping or, say, building a new home. Be sure you've got it graded so that all that water doesn't rush into the street. And last but not least, protect the waterfront. Designate about a 10-foot buffer area between the water. Say you live on Bayo Tahara, Bayo Chico. 10-foot off the water where you don't do anything. You don't mow, you don't spray, you don't fertilize, you don't do anything because with the rain, it can all wash into the water.
Okay, and that's so great principles. And what document is that from again?
Thanks, online. Yeah, thanks, Fred. Good question. Go to IFAS Extension, University of Florida, and they can do it. Let me see where
IFAS Extension.
Yeah. Okay. Here's what you need to do. I bet if you Google Florida friendly landscape, Florida friendly, can't talk. Florida friendly landscaping program.
Okay.
I bet it'll take you to it.
Perfect.
Wait a minute. Here's the answer, real quick. Visit our website at, FloridaFriendlyLandscaping.com.
There you go.
That'll get you there.
FloridaFriendlyLandscaping.com.
Now you're talking.
All right. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. We'll be back right after the break with Mike Wiggins. Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. Lots of questions coming in, so be sure and text in 850-437-1620. So much to talk about. We talked earlier about the heat and to keep watering.
A couple things about the heat. But before I do that, last thing about the packet that Catherine sent.
Yes.
One thing she sent was so much fun. It's called the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Oh, now, I referred to that.
People do it still.
Yes, it's the best weather forecaster.
Weather forecaster, the phases of the moon. Mm-hmm. So many people plant by that. You know,
some interesting things happening in the sky right now, exactly. By the way.
There's no doubt about that.
The meteor showers coming up.
Exactly. And this is a book that has some how to hand tame your feathered visitors in your backyard.
Say that again.
How to hand tame the feathered visitors in your backyard.
Ooh.
I'm not going to go through it, but it's just kind of a fun read. I mean, I don't know if I go for that. But in any event,
I think it's great.
If you can find the copy of, I'm sure if you Google the Farmer's Almanac.
Because
I just know there are a lot of people, right, even to this day, that will not plant without referencing the Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah, it's been around a long, long time for good reason.
There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Okay, and Meg, one other thing. I'm changing subjects on you.
You're good. I'm fascinated.
Changing subjects on you here. In this heat, you would say there's no vegetables that we can plant.
Didn't even think about vegetables.
But, not so fast.
Because Mike Wiggins is in the house.
Not me. Molly Jameson, who is a county agent, has written a little brochure, or it's on the internet, Summer Vegetables That Can Take the Heat.
Oh.
Okay. What do you think, Meg? You got one?
Well, I don't know. It seems like tomatoes always grow in
tomatoes
the summer.
Tomatoes won't work. It won't work. A little too hot for,
Where's
that.
Where's my buzzer?
Okay. All right, here we go. Well, I'm only going to give you a couple here.
Okay.
Okra.
Ugh. Why bother?
Oh, fried okra.
Ugh.
So
it's like my least favorite food ever.
And what you do, you take okra this time of year, and you soak it in a little bit of water, and plant the seeds 1 inch deep and 4 to 6 inches apart, and then you kind of thin them out. And if you plant two varieties, one is Clemson spineless, and the other one is emerald, and harvest them throughout the summer. They love the heat. Okra just loves the heat. All right, the next one. How about southern peas?
Okay, I might do that one.
You'll like this one. Some people call them, the old folks call them cow peas, believe it or not, or field peas. But it's like black-eyed peas. One that I know is real popular in our area for people that grow this, pink-eye purple hull peas.
I've had those before.
You know why they call it a purple hull?
I don't, because it's purple?
Because it's got a purple hull. It does. How about that?
I'm so smart.
Okay. Oh, you are.
Can't think they
passed
me,
you
boy.
Are so good, man. Okay, here's another one. You know, a black-eyed pea, right? A zipper cream pea.
Well, now that one I haven't heard of. Don't tell me it has a zipper.
No, I don't think it has a zipper. All right, and the last one, of course, are peppers. You can plant some of your hot peppers, like... Corno de Toro is good. Sweet banana pepper.
Are those red peppers? Are those red or yellow?
Like I don't know which color that is, Corno de Toro. I don't know. I'm going to guess red pepper.
Okay.
Exactly. So in any event, those are just three. So if you're in the vegetable garden in a big, big way, you probably already know that. But there are some plants that one can grow in this heat.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely. Okay. Next on the agenda. I got a nice article. This one's going to take some time, so we'll probably have to hit this next week.
Okay.
What causes my leaves to turn brown? Now, we had...
Heat.
Next topic.
Just kidding. It's just so darn hot out there. I don't see how anything can survive in this heat right now.
Oh, a lot of things cannot. You're absolutely right. And if we don't get a break...
Right.
If we don't get some rain, then I'm afraid we're all going to
start to get into that drought conditions. But go ahead. I didn't mean to distract you.
No. Because this is good. Because the first one is sunlight exposure. So many plants don't want this full, blaring, hot sun. Remember we talked a minute ago about right plant, right place?
Right.
And if you have the right plant, wrong place, like in the sunlight exposure can cause brown leaves. There's no doubt about it. We all know that. Wind exposure. A lot of people don't put that together, but windy weather can affect your plants and your trees because it causes the leaves to lose moisture and they can't keep up with the roots.
That makes sense.
And so they turn brown. Water stress. You just said that a minute ago. You're right. In this heat, watering, it seems very straightforward, but you've got to water when they need them. But also, Meg, over-watering can also cause a problem, especially, in my opinion, if you've got a container plant that doesn't have drainage. If you don't have a hole in the bottom of the pot and that water just sits in there, it'll cause a rot on the roots, and you'll get those brown leaves. Here's your favorite. Fungal inspection.
Ew.
Or infections.
Ew.
Infections. Right. Exactly. Some of the spots on the leaves. Now, a lot of the spots you'll find on the leaves, to me, are just cosmetic. You don't really need to worry too much about it killing the plant. But you will get those leaf spots, and they have little yellow halos around them many times. But for the most part, they don't turn the leaves brown. But they can if they stay there long enough. Here's an important one.
Okay.
You've got a plant and you've got a few brown leaves on it. You say, I'm going to solve that problem. I'm going to fertilize twice as much as it says. Well, fertilizer burn can cause it very, very quickly. Transplant shock. This is something you don't want to be doing right now. There's no doubt about that. Moving one plant to the other, from one place to the other, point A to point B, it's just too hot. just whatever you want to move, hold on until we get to the fall, unless you absolutely have to.
Okay.
And when we get back from the break, we'll talk about how
All
to
right.
do that.
This is Pep Talk in the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. Good morning. This is the Garden Line with Michael Wiggins on Pep Talk. We did it again. We were chatting.
We were talking.
Okay,
real quick, on the brown leaves, we've always said that many times, not every time, if you do get a brown leaf or so, don't be too upset about it, especially if you have the brown leaf and it falls off, because that's the plant trying to kind of heal itself.
Okay.
So that's what can cause brown leaves. And
all right.
You know,
well,
we all get them.
Okay.
And I think this article, the county agent said, don't stress over it too much.
No. Okay, well, we got something great because some things are growing and we've got some great pictures coming in. Just want to thank Catherine. She always sends in gorgeous pictures from her garden. She sent in a beautiful picture, Mike, of a white Texas star hibiscus. It's perfect. It's like the perfect star. It's gorgeous.
Hibiscus have been so
good. Oh, so pretty.
I've never planted that one that Catherine's planted, but
so pretty,
I planted
Catherine.
For the first time this year a red double hibiscus.
Ooh, that sounds good. Okay, and
then
Steve
pretty.
From Escambia Bay sent in a photo. So everything we talked about, Mike, he's planted okra, cream zipper, and purple hull peas, peppers, and there's a picture of this garden with all of that.
Man,
that's awesome.
That is so cool.
That's awesome.
You would have planted those. I have a feeling he's planted other things too.
No doubt about it.
But man, we appreciate the picture
and
entering in the conversation.
For sure.
That is absolutely great. I run out of time. I will say this. Next week, I want to talk a little bit about landscaping and bed design and some of the larger plants that we should use sort of as, I'm going to say, bones to the landscape.
Gotcha.
So next week, if we have some time, we'll do that.
Okay. Well, you can hear this broadcast again. We play it again on Saturday mornings at 9. Also, if you want to get some notes, you didn't have your paper or pen with you, you can listen to it on our podcast on our website at newsradio923.com. Click on podcast, Principal Expert Panel, and the Garden Line, and you can listen to it again. All right. We will be back in just a few minutes right after the news. Thanks, Mike, for another great show on the Garden Line.
Thank you, man. This was fun.